You're listening to The Good Fork with host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby from Las Vegas, Nevada. Interesting conversations, interesting people. For more, head over to vegansbaby.com after the episode. Are you looking to save a little cash right now? I know I am. So I have some great deals for you. Daily Harvest right now is offering $25 off your first order when you use code VEGANSBABY at checkout. They are an all-organic, all-natural meal prep service. So you get cups of beautiful smoothies and bowls and savory and sweet. And I absolutely love them. There's also some deals right now over at Vegan Cuts, and they do subscription boxes like snack boxes and beauty boxes, and even right now a quarantine box. So head over to vegancuts.com and use code VEGANSBABY to save a little money there. And if you're in the mood to shop, I actually have a whole shop on Amazon with some of my favorite products. It's amazon.com/shop/vegansbaby. Head on over, check it out, and enjoy some shopping. Episode of The Good Fork. I am Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby, and I am your host. This is a podcast, and we're also multitasking a little while we are all stuck in quarantine and doing a Facebook Live as well, because you got to keep entertained, right? Yes.
Sorry.
So I have here Lindsay McCormick. You may have seen Lindsay on your Facebook feed, holding a cute little bottle of Bite toothpaste bits. You may have seen her on Shark Tank a few weeks ago, where she turned down Mark Cuban. But Lindsay is the founder of Bite toothpaste, and it is a zero waste, sustainable, all natural toothpaste bite. And I have known Lindsay for a real long time. I think we're going on like seven, eight years, almost a decade.
Almost 10 years.
And it actually, we know each other because we started traveling right around the same time. I had a travel blog, and she was you were a travel video, basically. And we met in Vegas, and then we ended up meeting like all around the world as we went. So, hi, Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here today. It looks beautiful where you are in LA while you're quarantined to your house. How's it going over there? What's Los Angeles like right now?
So good, Dee. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited. I know we've been friends for almost a decade, and I feel like we've really like grown up together like the past decade of our lives. So yeah. Thank you for having me on this podcast. I think it's super cool, and Facebook Live, so fun, especially like this time, right? I feel like it's definitely unprecedented times that we are living in at the moment. So. Yeah. You know, for all intents and purposes we're voluntarily self-quarantined, you know, stay at home. Yeah. So we've been at home working out of our apartment, which, I mean, if you're going to be anywhere, it's a pretty nice view. So, we're really counting our blessings during this time. I know that there's a lot of people who have been affected by coronavirus, and their family members, or they are sick. And so luckily, I'm fine. My boyfriend, who's also my co-founder, is fine. Nemo, our little pup, he's sitting right next to me. We're all good. And we've all at Bite been working from home actually since right after we shot Shark Tank. So it's been a little bit of a whirlwind of a month, but yeah, good. We're hanging in there.
So before we even get into Bite, I want to talk about what you were doing in the community right now. You have been making hand sanitizer.
We have been. So as soon as we started hearing about the coronavirus, like this was, you know, super early, one of the first things that sold out was hand sanitizer. And although with Bite now we're manufactured in a facility we're in California. It's right up the road here in LA. And so, but we still have our in-home lab. So as soon as I realized that there was going to be this need, especially for the, you know, homeless population in LA, they it's, I knew that we wanted to be able to do something. So we started, I started figuring out like with the same thing of toothpaste, like what is toothpaste? What is hand sanitizer? And the World Health Organization has a recipe online. It's their formula online. You can basically follow it to a T. So we, at that point, this was early enough in the pandemic that you could still actually pretty easily get a hold of the raw materials. You couldn't get sanitizer, but you could get everything else. So we bought all of the raw materials that we needed and we started making it and donating it. It's now since been way harder. We're actually having a really hard time getting the isopropyl alcohol. So we've kind of slowed down being able to make it, but we've been donating it to some really amazing organizations who are on the street, like still handing out hand sanitizer and just really helping like a segment of the population that has really been left to fend for themselves. So, yeah. You know, it's, I think one of the things at Bite is we're all about saving the planet and animals, but like people really can't look outside of saving the planet if they're worried about protecting themselves. And so by helping people protect themselves, I feel like, you know, it's still all kind of contributing to what we're all in this for.
So, okay. You went from travel, as did I. How long were you traveling? A couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a travel YouTube channel and I did, you know, I was working as a surf instructor and a snowboard instructor for a long time. So in the in-between seasons, I like didn't have enough money to live in LA, but I could go backpack in a different country. So I would do that. And then when I was 27, I actually took about a little over a year off. And that's when we met. And wait, yeah, 27, because I'm 35 now. Holy cow.
2012, right before I went to Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so, and I just went, I gave away everything that I owned, which honestly wasn't much because I was a snowboard instructor, and then went and traveled all around the world and made a big YouTube series on it. And that's like our background. I mean, that's how we met, which is really sweet.
So, okay, from travel to toothpaste, how does that, it starts with a T, but that's about as close to anything of travel and toothpaste there is. How in the world did you get into toothpaste?
It's a really good question. I wonder about that myself. Well, it's not so much about toothpaste as it was like my love for the world and wanting to protect it. So, you know, the inspiration to travel was wanting to see this beautiful planet, and my inspiration for Bite was wanting to protect it. So my little tiny way of doing that was toothpaste. I was actually traveling. So since making YouTube travel videos, I ended up getting a job in TV and I was a TV producer. So I was traveling all around the country filming the show House Hunters, and I was going through those little toothpaste tubes, those little guys, always a little cat in the background, and it just seemed, and it was just so wasteful. And so I wanted to be able to like get an alternative to just throwing out a plastic tube. And then looking into that, I started realizing all of the harsh chemicals and preservatives that's in commercial toothpaste. And I realized like, okay, there's a lot that's going on that's wrong here. And I really want to just make something even just for me that would be better. And I also, you know, with the Good Fork, and I know you're vegan and I'm vegan as well, I learned that a lot of commercial toothpaste is actually tested on animals, which was like mind blowing to me. There's something called the rat caries test, and it's formally required for all fluoride toothpaste that's on the market in the US. You'll see that there are some fluoride toothpaste that say cruelty free, and that means they've like chosen basically not to do the required rat caries test, which like good on them, but it also means that they're, I don't really know how they're not doing that, because we've, you know, looked into all things toothpaste and we're kind of like, that sucks that that is a requirement. So, and then things like glycerin could be animal derived. So that just kind of blew my mind. Right. Yeah. And then I came up with the idea for Bite. It was a super long iterative process. First was it powder. And then I wanted to like bake these little balls that I was like trying to make in my toaster oven, you know, anything. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm going to have to buy a tableting machine, and I'm going to have to start trying to make this with like a dry powder. And so I made it in my living room, and then we ended up like, it was kind of before the whole planet plastic problem was really like headline news. And so it was still super weird and fringe, and, you know, and the idea of like veganism hadn't really caught on, or, you know, and that whole thing. So it was still, but then within like a year, we had actually gone viral on Facebook, like in Facebook videos. Dee, you were there, but right before that. And then it would just kind of really just rocket launch the company. Yeah. So it's now it's me and my boyfriend, who's my co-founder. And then we have three other people working with us. And yeah, that's the story of Bite, and kind of how it all like worked out in a weird way. So although toothpaste was not my background, you can learn a lot from the internet. Like you can learn everything you need.
But now like you're an expert in toothpaste.
Yeah, but it's all because I've learned from people who are actually experts. It's like I've talked to every dentist. It's hilarious. Like my contacts now, like so many of them, dentists, dental hygienist, you know, like all of these people that I can just bounce ideas off of and ask their opinion on things. And then also just like reading online studies, like looking at all of the literature. It's all there. So yeah. I know an embarrassing amount about toothpaste. No,
the other part of this, though, isn't just that you've made these bits. It's everything is zero waste.
Right. So, sorry, I got my green tea. So taking sips of green tea over here if you're listening to the podcast. So everything, something that was so important was the fact that we weren't contributing to landfill waste. So everything about us, like when you're on the subscription program, it comes in a glass bottle with an aluminum lid. It's all fully recyclable, but even better, it's meant to be kept and refilled. And we just send you compostable refill pouches. And the pouches that we have are home compostable, which means if you have a compost pile or a compost bin, you can put it in there. You don't have to find the industrial facilities that, you know, sometimes those cups, they get a bad rep. So being able to come up with something that was truly like zero waste and more beneficial for the environment was something that was high on my list.
So how did you get from that to a viral video to hanging out in Shark Tank? Like how did that happen, Lindsay?
It was a long journey. So when we first went viral in August 2018, there's actually, when it comes to Shark Tank, there's like two ways to get on the show. Well, I'm sure actually there's many ways to get on the show. I don't really know. But I do know they have you can go in through their casting thing, or sometimes they have casting people who reach out, and they're very, very upfront saying, just because we reached out to you does not mean that you have a better or worse chance of getting on the show. It's just that they have people who do that. So they reached out to us the first time, and I was just too frazzled. Like it was literally the exact same time that happened. So I was like, okay, well, we'll apply next for the next season and see how it goes. And then, you know, the whole casting thing is super, it's a process, like a really long process. There's a lot that you have to do. As you can expect. And then once you find out, like there's just, you have to practice because you're up there and you really, that's your one shot. And like, they're very clear where it's like, there's no redos. Like there's no like, hey, cut, I need to get that line better. Oh, you're going. And so it was definitely nerve wracking, but really, really fun.
Did you have a business plan? Like when you started all this, you're like, cool, I'm going to put together a business plan. Or were you just kind of like, because I know for me, like I'm always like, let's just try it and see if it works. And there is never a business plan. I just kind of run with it. And is that you?
Yeah. So we, same thing. So I made this for me because I needed it for my job. So I wanted to be able to travel and have toothpaste that fit, you know, I could take for carry on that wasn't contributing to landfill waste. And then when I learned about all of the chemicals and animal testing, I was like, well, I'm going to use it at home too. So it really just came for me, and I was going to make it no matter what. And then as we've grown, we have to start doing things like making a business plan. But never, you know, at the beginning it never was, because I think that if I would have made a business plan, I think if I would have done focus group testing and all of these very preliminary things that people do before starting a business, maybe I wouldn't have done this. Because if you look at the oral care industry, it's so incredibly competitive. And if you look at, you know, all these things, like the odds are not stacked against you, but it's like, you never know, like the wild card of going viral, or that thought that just people are going to really demand something different. You know, I think that we're super lucky, the fact that I went into this, you know, just blind, because if we would have stopped and like thought about that, we might have been discouraged and we wouldn't have done it. Right. It would have been a bummer.
And I know for me, like when everyone's like, do a business plan, I'm always just like, oh God. Because once you start outlining it, it's like, wait, you know, it's just, it takes all the passion and everything, and all of a sudden you have to like condense that passion into a business plan. And I look at it, I just don't want to, like, I want someone else to do one for me, because it's a lot. And I don't want to get discouraged, and I want to just kind of go and see what works and what doesn't. And then when the time comes, okay, cool, then you'll figure it out. So when you got to Shark Tank, first off, because you're no stranger to being on TV. Like you've been interviewed a million times. You had your own YouTube channel. But I feel like Shark Tank and being on that is a whole different beast for you. Like, what was going through your mind, like, leading? First off, what did you have to do to prepare for Shark Tank?
That's a really good question. So there was so much preparation that went into it, especially because coming from the fact that, like, right, we didn't necessarily, this wasn't built with, like, venture capital in mind at all. Like, we hadn't done a pitch. Like, we didn't have the business plan, like, perfectly laid out. Like, all of those things we really had to build when we did Shark Tank. So we had to really look at what makes our business attractive to business people. And, like, up until then, we had really just been like, we're making toothpaste and it's going really well, you know? And so it was really kind of stepping back and saying, okay, we need to look at this like a business. And that was incredibly helpful. And I would say that, like, for sure at the beginning, when you're first starting your business, you know, if you're starting from passion and just wanting to solve a problem, then getting into the numbers and the nitty gritty is probably the wrong time, because you just want to be able, like, for me, when I first started Byte, it was like making art. It didn't matter if, like, no one bought it or no one got it, no one liked it. Like, I was going to make it for myself. And then when you start, you know, for Shark Tank, really forced us to make us think like this is a business. And that was super helpful to start really digging into those numbers and to be forced to dig into those numbers and kind of figuring out, like, oh, like, this is a working business. And, like, you know, these things are, like, you know, it's all really, it was good. So for the preparation, I mean, and that's not even getting ready for your pitch, right? Then you have to, like, you write the pitch, you have to practice the pitch and, like, the whole thing. But definitely from my background with TV and YouTube, but, like, that I control a little bit.
Yeah.
Shark Tank, and then control. And no. So that was, like, scary. Super
sure.
Scary. Yeah.
So then, okay, leading up to it, where did you film?
So it's filmed in, it's a Sony, I don't know how much I can get into it, but we film in LA and everyone flies in from all over the country. But luckily for us, it's right here. So it was not like, it was a nice experience in that way.
Did you know who all the sharks were going to be before you went in?
You do not.
Okay. Did you have, like, anything in mind that you really wanted there?
So when it came, I had thought that, you know, all the sharks are amazing and they're all exceptionally good at what they do. And it's funny too, because when we were preparing for it, one of the things that I did was come up with whiteboards, and I had whiteboards on our apartment, and I had written down every shark and, like, the deals they had done, what had gone, you know, all of the things, like, their pet peeves, like, what to say, what not to say. Like, I got into, like, the producer.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Losing it. I was like, I'm not walking in there unprepared. Like, I'm going to know everything. And so I thought a shark that would be, they're all amazing in their own right, but I thought the one that I had really, his previous investments were very interesting, would have been interesting to us, was Robert. And that's because he had done Pupbox, which is a subscription business. He had done SandCloud, which is an eco-friendly business. And I thought that that would, like, it was very relevant to us and what would be helpful to us. So he was someone that I was interested in. But then, of course, it's like, who doesn't love Mark? Who doesn't love Mark? You know, it's like, you love them all. But I was particularly, because of his history, interested.
Okay. So when you walked on, I just want the play-by-play of all of this, basically. So, like, when you walked on stage and you see the shark sitting there, like, do you have that moment of, oh my God, like, this is real life. Holy crap, I'm here, like, on this stage. Yeah. Like, what went through your head? Like,
It was really funny, like, right before, this is, like, so weird. I, like, we're friends, so I'm gonna get super weird. But, like, it was right when you, before you walk on, like, they come and they, like, do your final hair and makeup check, and they, like, do this, and there's, like, people all around you, like, touching and, like, moving things. And I was just, I, like, closed my eyes and I was like, I feel like I'm in a simulation. Like, I was like, we're all living in a simulation. No, I don't know. It just seemed so surreal, you know?
Yeah.
And then honestly, you just black out. Like, I don't remember really what it felt being on. Like, I think, like, flight or fight.
Flight or flight, yeah.
And you're just like you're there, you know? And, like, you do. And, like, that's why we had practiced our pitch to the point where it was muscle memory. We had, like, Asher and I knew who was answering what question and what the answer would be. Like, we knew, like, we had our junkets of being like, anything that falls into here is me, anything that falls into here is you. Yeah. And, like, we knew everything. And so, like, that was, I think, so helpful. Like, yeah.
How long did you guys prepare?
Well, it's tough because it's like, I think, you know, the casting thing is a long time, but you don't really know for sure that you're going to shoot. Like, it's all up in the air. It's TV, right? Everything changes, whatever. So we had really started preparing once we began the casting process.
Okay.
Because we kind of, you know, which was because we were like, even if we don't get it, like in the end, this will be helpful to us because we have, you know, gone through all these questions and gone through everything. So we, I think, you know, I don't know how much other teams prepare, but like we went in there, like, but like we were exceptionally prepared. Like, cause I was terrified.
I know you and I know Asher, and I can see you all literally sitting every day, like bop, 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 like figuring all of this out, going over and over and over and over it again.
Shark Tank played on our TV for like, it was on 24/7. Like we would all be working there and it would just be on. It would be on.
How many episodes did you watch?
Oh, I watched every single one of them. Every single one. Literally from season one. Well, season one, I didn't watch as much. Like the first few seasons, it was different because they, I think, like had taken a percentage of every brand that went on there. So it was like a different kind of vibe. And like from there on after that, it was a totally different thing. So like I think I've watched like every single Shark Tank episode at least once, probably twice. And like notes on it.
Being so like, they like a Shark Tank trivia and you would
I would kill it.
So you walk on stage, you don't remember anything. Do you remember them offering you the deal?
Yes, I remember that. So although if you watched the episode, you could see we forgot about Kevin's deal quite a few times. We got a deal from an offer from Kevin and from Mark, but
it
was so much higher than what we would even anticipate. So I was like, that's not even an option. And then Mark was, he wanted 15%, and we, you know, we went in there with asking for like for 5% for 35.
Okay. There you go. Sorry.
Yeah. So 325,000 for 5%. And, and that like, so I think like the strategy of Shark Tank too, like every team or every like company, I say team like it's a game, every company has their own strategy. And I think that's something that we definitely did is we, and I don't know if this is the right move, right? When you, in like hindsight, but like we went in there with what we thought was fair and we weren't really there to like super negotiate. We just were kind of like, this is what the numbers say. Like, this is what we think is fair. And we didn't really leave much room for like negotiating. Like I just want to, I feel like when you're starting a partnership, I don't want to be nickeling and diming you. I just want to be like, this is fair. Let's start this off. So that's kind of how I want to do it. I think like what makes better TV and what, you know, other brands like to do or other people like to do is going with something way high, knowing that they'll negotiate or going in way low, knowing they'll negotiate up. And we didn't really do that. And I think that was, different. I think that was like, you know, we didn't really have much room to play with at that point. That I want.
And so looking back, are you comfortable with that? Like, are you comfortable with the fact that you turned down the offers?
Oh yeah, for sure. So, cause even if we would have negotiated more, we still weren't on the same planet, you know? So it would, you know, it wouldn't have worked out anyway, but I definitely like, I mean, who doesn't love Mark Cuban? Like who doesn't, you know? So but when it comes to your business and kind of going with what, you know, we went in there and what we knew was right for us and our brand and our customers and what we wanted for the future of the company. It's kind of like, even with the shiny lights, like you just got to stay on track, you know? So like, this could be so amazing, but still we got to stay on track, you know? So
yeah. And so now you guys, you know, you are moving forward with everything. What kind of stuff do you have coming up?
So we come out with new flavors every season. Right now, this is actually my favorite one so far. I say that every season, but it's true because I wouldn't let it happen if it wasn't my favorite. We have lavender lemon, which is springtime.
Oh, nice.
Like lavender lemon for new couples. I need to send you some. I'll send you some. They're so good.
Mm-hmm. Relaxing toothpaste.
Yes, it is. There's like, it's relaxing because the lavender, but then the citrus like makes it like bright a little bit. So it's like, that's a nice little compliment. But, and then we have our toothbrushes too, which I have as well, which are actually really awesome for travel. So these are a bamboo toothbrush and it comes apart. So you can just like throw it in your makeup bag or whatever, which is where I throw it, which is not hygienic, but works for me. And then we're coming out with new products as the year goes by too. So
anything you can sneak peek or your mom on it?
I don't have anything right now. So we're no, nothing yet. But once I do, I'll let you know.
I mean, how do you come up with the flavors?
So we actually were working with a small business flavor house here in Los Angeles, which is super awesome. I love being able to just really keep it local. And I come up with what flavor, like for this was like lavender lemon, and we all talk about it as a team. We do like that. There we go. We all talk about this as a team and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And then we'll usually ask some of our customers as well, like what they kind of think. And then we start the flavoring process. So like to make the lavender lemon, it's actually lavender oil sprayed onto a carrier. So it's like real legit flavoring. And then it gets put into a powder. And then the powders are sent here to my in-home lab, which is where we make the hand sanitizer. And I'll like experiment around with it here to get the exact percentage and then send it to our lab to manufacture it at scale. So it's still very like hands-on. Like I touch every point of the process. And then, you know, right now we're coming up with our summer flavor too, which I can't tell you what it is yet, but I will, as soon as we have it, I'll send you some too.
I remember sitting in your living room when you were first starting this and you had a bowl and you were literally flavoring them.
Mm.
You know, and be like, no, this one's got too much of this. Nope, too much of this. Like, it's come such a long way. At what point did you move from like your living room to the bigger venue?
So right after we went viral in 2018, we immediately sold that.
Tell people, because I don't know that everybody knows about how you went viral. What was it?
Okay, so I was making Bite in our living room and I was like hand pressing every single little tablet, putting it in a bottle with gloves on, and then like putting the bottle, like hand putting the label on, and then shipping it out. Like I printed up the shipping label, the whole thing, everything was done. And so that's the way things were made. And Women's Health was like, hey, we would love to like focus, like do a little video on you. You're female founded, eco-friendly business. We haven't really seen anything like this before. So just send us some footage of you making bits and talking about Bite and send it to us. So I did. And it was literally like Asher and I shot it at 6 a.m. before I left for a TV shoot. Like on a, like I had no idea this thing was going to go viral. I looked like crap. So then we like send it. I do that. I look at it like, why? And so we send it to them and I don't hear anything back for like months, like nothing. And I'm like, well, you know, busy people, whatever. And then one day my phone just starts going crazy. Like there, whenever you get like a sale on Shopify, it like makes this little noise and it just started like dinging, 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 ding, like crazy. And I looked at it and I was like, what is going on? And I looked on Facebook and sure enough, the Women's Health video had gone up and just started going crazy viral. Like people were sharing it. I think at this point it's had like over 100 million views and it just keeps on going. And then once that happened, then it was like Cosmo started playing it and then Business Insider reached out and then Attention reached out. And then the next thing you know, it's like really echoing. And so that was like awesome, but then also terrifying. And we were still in a living room. And I was like, there is no, at first I was like, oh, I can make these. It'll just take like a few weeks. Like I'll just stay up all night and make these. And there's absolutely no way. Like, and so we were sold out for 2 months and I found a manufacturer here in Los Angeles and now it's all made like fully GMP FDA certified lab, you know? So yeah, that was the whole thing for a long time.
I think I saw you right after all that went viral and you were literally, you had your little lab in your house and you've come so far. Like I'm so proud of you and I'm so excited to see all of this for you. So what's been your biggest challenge with all of this?
Oh, good question. So, I mean, the thing about running a business, especially the way that we've chosen to run it, we've chosen not to take outside, like not to take venture capital. We've chosen to really kind of go our own way. And we're really pretty bold in a lot of the choices that we make. And we are really like always having to teach our, like anyone that we work with, like because what we're doing is so like weird and new, we're almost having to like teach them along the way. So I would say kind of like teaching every aspect of this, like of our supply chain, like, you know, how do you make toothpaste tablets, you know, because we're working with these companies that have never made toothpaste tablets before, which makes sense because they weren't really a thing. And so being able to do that and then constantly just like the the technology in the sustainable space moves so fast, and there's so much greenwashing. And so being able to really pull out like the BS from the actual awesome new technology is like a full, like it's very hard. I spend a lot of time doing that. And so I think, you know, really staying at the very forefront of that is a challenge. And then also because of that, training, all of the training that goes along the way to every part of our supply chain.
So what are like the questions you most get asked? Because for me, I know, and I mean, I know your product is fantastic, but also like, I mean, have dentists approved it? Like, does it do the same thing as like tube toothpaste? Do we call it gel?
Paste.
Like, is it the same thing? So like if I switch from like AIM, or I don't even know if AIM's around anymore, but from like a Colgate to Bite, am I getting the same benefits?
Right. So we have a lot of dentists who have, you know, in our reviews online, in our reviews on our site, as well as on like YouTube and on Instagram, who have on their own spoken so highly of Bite. We have never done an outreach where we're paying dentists to endorse our brand. And I don't really plan on doing that anytime soon. I don't think it's something that, you know, at first we didn't do it just because we didn't have time to really start the negotiations. And now we just have so many that have supported us on their own that we haven't really felt the need to do that. But we are, so basically it kind of all depends on what you're using when it comes to their, like what it is. So if you're going right from Schmidt's or from, you know, a more natural toothpaste, like David's or something, then apples to apples were the same, except we don't have water or like preservatives in it or any of the things that go along with that. If you are coming from like a Crest or a Colgate, there are going to be things that you're used to that we don't have. So it's like our foaming agent is not the same as sodium lauryl sulfate. So like we're like less of a foam, you know, and we use a natural flavoring agent. And so it's not as like pow in your face minty. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely, and then the whole idea of even just biting into your toothpaste, what we've heard across the board from customers and dentists is that it's weird at first, but then you realize it. But then they're like, it's weird at first, but now I'll never go back, you know? And so that's kind of the total.
Like the first time I was like, okay, and I'm biting it. I'm like, how much do I bite of it? Lindsay?
So I actually made a whole video about this so we could show people, because we were like, wait, when you do it, you really are changing one of the most ingrained parts of your routine that you've been doing every day, twice a day since you're 3 years old. So like it really is different. So the secret is to bite down on it a bunch of times, bite in the back of your mouth a bunch of times, and then brush at that. Like it will form like a paste basically, and then brush at that. And that's when you're going to actually activate the foaming agent. That's when you'll get like the mintiness all over your mouth. But I think, you know, some people, and it's probably our fault too, because we call the word like bite, not like bite many times, you know? And so I think people just like pop it in their mouth. They bite down once and they start brushing and they're just like, there's chunks everywhere or it's not foaming. And I'm like, we have not instructed these people correctly, you know? And I'm like, okay, that's on us. So yeah, you want to definitely put it in there. You want to bite down a bunch of times and then it'll start to foam.
And then brush. Okay. So what products do you have now? You've got your traditional mint.
Yes. So we have mint, we have mint charcoal. And it's important to note too that a lot of people will talk about charcoal being abrasive on your teeth. So our charcoal is actually a low abrasivity toothpaste. And the RDA value is 24, which is one of the lowest you can get. And so that was super important to us to make sure that we had a low abrasive toothpaste. And then we also have our seasonal flavors. So right now it's lavender lemon. Then we're going to have a spring one or a summer one coming out. We have our toothbrush, which is this. And then it's our bamboo toothbrush. So, and it comes apart. Oh yeah, I forgot this is the podcast. So our bamboo toothbrush comes apart and so it's easy to travel, and we'll also have heads that you can replace, replace that. And yeah, that's it for now. It's interesting because I can like see the pipeline and I'm like, I can't say it yet, but we'll have many new fun things coming in the future.
You still have your kids then, right?
The what? Oh, and we do have, yes, kids.
Launched.
Oh man, yes. We have our berry twist, which is we released it with just our 1 ounce subscription or 1 ounce bottle, but then it was such a hit with the kids and the parents that we actually, it's now a subscription as well. So it's a berry flavored, a berry twist flavored tablet.
So like if I want a berry twist flavored tablet, can I use it?
You totally can. It's we say great for kids. So it actually there's a lot of adults who use it because it's a really light berry flavoring. So it's like if you're not into mint or if you're allergic to mint, it's a great alternative if you don't want to switch up with our seasonal all the time. And it's like what's great about it for parents is that it tastes really good. And then what's great for kids is that it's just so easy. They don't have the mess in the sink. It's not like there's like paste all over the place. So it's we've gotten a lot of parents emailing in being like, thank you so much for making brush time better, you know? And so, yeah, it's been really sweet.
So how did you, okay, you said, you know, I know you're vegan. How did you, what made you get into the whole vegan lifestyle? Because now, like, I mean, you are probably one of the most passionate people I know when it comes to like vegan and sustainability and zero waste. And like, I mean, you DIY everything at this point now. What started the whole movement towards that?
So I had been vegetarian for so long, which I thought was enough. And now that I'm vegan, I'm like, that was not even enough. But, you know, it was because I loved animals. Like, I think I've been vegetarian since I was, like, 7 years old. I basically just told my parents, I was like, this is it. I'm not doing it. I saw The Little Mermaid, and that was, like, in Bambi. And I was like, that's it. Never again. And they were pretty cool about it. They were like, okay, you can just eat peanut butter sandwiches at dinner, like instead of your like meat part. And so, you know, survived off sides. And then I had always gone back and forth with being vegan, where I was vegan in middle school, then I fell off the boat, then I was vegan in high school, fell off the boat, college. So it was always, and then finally I've like, now it's like just, it's just so easy now too. Yeah. Not that that's why people should do it, but it's just, I've always known it's better for the environment. It, you know, leaps and bounds when it comes down to land usage, water usage, CO2 emissions, but then also just like the cruelty aspect. If you don't have to participate that, if you don't need that, then why would we do that? So that's something then, you know, I don't wear leather. I don't wear silk and those things, which I'm finding is incredibly hard to dress like an adult and not wear wool or silk. It's like, oh my God, cashmere and silk is in everything. So it's been interesting. So, but I just think, you know, when it comes down to being gentle, like to our bodies and to our cohabitants on this planet, as well as the earth, it was just the way that it was a no brainer for me. Yeah. So, and it's funny too, like I'm vegan first and then like low waste, zero waste second, because I really do think that animal agriculture has a higher carbon footprint than anything else. I mean, it does. And so it's like, if I am at the store and I have to choose between like a cheese sandwich wrapped in plastic or paper or like a vegan sandwich wrapped in plastic, like I still think that the vegan choice is the better choice because of all of the things that go into it. Yeah. So, and that's me, that's personally for me. So and that's, I feel like everyone has to kind of figure out where their values lie and then really just kind of live by those every day. But it's so easy to be vegan now. I was literally just eating, I had a vegan Daiya cheese pizza last night, which normally, like, this is like straight quarantine life, right? It's like normally I would not be having that because I do make my own stuff, but I had like a vegan Daiya thing. And then I had by Ben and Jerry's.
Which one?
The peanut butter and Oreo ice cream or whatever.
I literally, Lindsay, I'm obsessed with it and I.
So good.
Like I order like 5 of them when I have to get groceries now, and only one ever comes because there's only one ever left. But it's the best. Like it's not so a movie, good. That one.
It's so good. Like there's nothing that we're missing. Anything that you want, you can get. It's so easy. And so I think that's something that, not that you should have to do it, but then it's like, it's just so easy now. It's
So. What about the whole sustainability thing? Like when you decided to go low waste, zero waste, what did you get rid of in your house? Like what was the process? Hot Fido says hi.
This is a great hi Fido. He's so cute. Fido is Dee's dog and he's jumping all over her right now. It's very normal. Okay, so here are the easiest things. Like obviously for us, you know, switching out your toothpaste, so easy. Deliver to your door. You don't think about it. Zero waste. Other things that are incredibly easy, switching to bamboo toilet paper. There are subscription companies that do it. They send you the toilet paper every month. You don't have to think about it. It's pretty comparable in price, like maybe a little bit more than going to the store, but also like it's way more eco-friendly. Bamboo, just like why we use it for our toothbrush, what's awesome about bamboo is that it doesn't take a lot of water to grow and it doesn't take pesticides.
Yeah.
Which is just like way, it's like a great, great thing. So that, and then I would also say, so like those are just two simple, easy things you don't have to think about, easy to
spread.
When it comes to in the kitchen, something that was more intimidating to me, but I just so highly recommend it, is bulk food shopping. And like, look, I'm gonna tell you, it's weird the first time. Like, it's super weird and you don't know what to do. And like, there's tear rates and you have to like take a photo of like, so what I do is I bought my like, you know, cloth bags off of Amazon, and they have tear weights on them, but I only ever like get the person at Whole Foods or at Erewhon to do the tear rate when it's like a really expensive thing that I'm buying, because other than that, it's pain in the butt. But basically you can just, you go to the bulk bin, you fill it up with whatever you want, and then you take a photo of the SKU, and then when you check out, you just show the person checking you out the photo of the SKU, and then they say, oh, okay, that's how much these almonds cost. So that has been just super easy. Like, even with the quarantine thing, it's like I have hummus forever because I have a thing of tahini like in my fridge, that like a jar of tahini, and then I have more dried chickpeas than, I have like 3 mason jars of dried chickpeas because I accidentally, so I'm like, I can eat hummus forever. Like, it's fine.
I have about 6 cans of chickpeas in my fridge.
And it's so easy to make hummus. It's so easy. Like, and I don't know, when you, it doesn't even take, because I'll say with Bite and just like trying to have like any sort of life, like we're so busy, but it really doesn't take much more time, especially because you can buy things that just stay forever. So it's like, I don't go to the store as often. So where it's like, it takes a little bit more time than just like opening up a tub of hummus. That's not that much more time. It's like you throw it in the food processor, you add some stuff, and you have hummus. It's so good. So yeah, I've kind of found that to successfully be like zero to low waste, as much as you can, is being able to make it easy for you, because like no brainer. It's not easy, you know, but it's like a no brainer.
So what about your products? Because I know you make like your own face stuff and your own lotion, which is very good, by the way. I really like it. How do you do that? Like, also, like, what were you like just one day, I'm going to make lotion?
And yeah, then- internet. I just look on the internet. I look up and I, you know, you have to be careful because there are some things that are not correct on the internet. So you have to, I double check everything. But when it comes to, you know, when it comes to making like a body lotion, it's, you don't want to use it on your face, but you could use like a coconut oil base with aloe vera and some like argan or jojoba oil, and it's going to just seep in super well, and it's like so nice. And that's not something you would clog, like the, you wouldn't want to use on your face, because it would clog your skin on your face. There's just so many different things that you can use at home, as opposed to, you know, using these things that are formulated in a lab. Like, and I'm all down with like safe synthetics. Like, I think, you know, I wear sunscreen that is, that's, comes out of a plastic tube, and it's like no way natural, I don't think. But it, you know, I think there's a time and a place for things, but when you're putting something on your skin, which is literally the biggest organ, your most absorbing organ, it's like, you want to make sure that you're putting in things that you would eat, and you, cause that's what it's seeping it in. So, those kind of things. I like to make them and experiment with them, and I make them all here. It's fun.
So how do you deal, because you brought up this sunscreen in like a plastic tube, how do you deal with that? Like, obviously, you know, you're still using it. What goes through your mind when you're purchasing a product like that? Or are you offsetting it by doing something else, you know, to make up your purchase?
It's a good question. So the first thing is like, the first R in all of the things is reduce.
Yep.
So the first thing is like, if there's not a sustainable alternative to something, I'm going to use it as little as possible. Yep. So with sunscreen, it's like, yes, of course, I'm going to wear it whenever I go outside. But like when I go for a run every day, and I wear a hat. I don't put on sunscreen, you know, and so I'm only putting on the sunscreen if I'm actually like running around for the day. So those are the things where it's like, you know, as opposed to, you know, if there was a sustainable alternative to it, I would probably be a little bit more, you know, liberal in using it. But I just think, you know, it is a necessary thing in our lives. Is like, the unfortunate thing is that plastic is so convenient, so it's like really, it's everywhere. And so I feel like as long as I'm just constantly trying to audit my lifestyle and out anything that I can that isn't in alignment is like, or that is, you know, not 100% necessary, then I kick it out. But when it comes to things like, yeah, I just haven't found a good sunscreen brand, that's not, you know, and a lot of people have already sent me the ones that are kind of tin or whatever, but they're not made. I'm actually pretty particular about the way that sunscreen needs to work, and it can be formulated incorrectly very easily. And so that's something that I wouldn't use that wasn't like tested, you know, properly. But then I would, you know, there's, oh, what was I going to say? There's, what's it called? It's just kind of like auditing things. Oh, like multivitamins, right? Like those, I will definitely find ones that are in glass because they exist. And you know, it's like, so then it's like, okay, I switch that out. So I think that those are kind of the way that that's the way that I look at it. The checks and balances.
So if someone said, hey, Lindsay, you know, I really want to go zero waste or low waste, what's the first thing you tell them to do?
I would say, look at your daily routine and figure out the first things that you could take out, because those are the things that add up the most. So it's not necessarily about, like, it's not about buying a canvas bag if you want to do grocery shopping every other week, you know what I'm saying? Or if you're still going to order Amazon Prime, like there's no point in buying a canvas bag, you know? And I would say, like, what are you using every single day? Because that's where your highest impact is. So if you're the kind of person that buys a water bottle, you know, buys like those cases of Costco plastic water bottles, then for sure cut that out. Cause like there's no, it's like so easily just get like a water bottle thing. But if you don't get water bottles ever, then like buying a Swell water bottle doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? If that's not something that you ever use. So exactly. Like I get it everywhere. Yeah.
Everywhere. It's not heavy, but I love it.
Yeah. So good. So, and that's the thing. So it's like, if that's something, it's like for each person, your highest impact could be could be different things. So if you're someone who is like really into makeup and you buy a ton of makeup, then I would say looking into sustainable makeup brands would probably be your first step, because you're obviously, there's a big footprint there. And then also like reducing the amount that you use in general.
So like sustainable makeup, who comes to mind?
Man, that is really hard. There's not many. I would say there's the brand Elevate.
Okay.
Yeah, they're cool. But that's something, I'm not actually really into makeup, so I don't know. Cause I like have the same makeup. I feel like I think I buy like one thing of foundation like every year and a half. It's pretty cool. So I don't use it very, cause I work from home, so I don't really put makeup on very often.
Sweats.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's, you know, I think the easy things, the basic things are like swap out your toothpaste, swap out your, you know, that's like we have, swap your foaming hand soap to either something that's refillable or bar soap. Like bar soap's great, you know? And so those are the kind of things where it's like kind of just what are you using every day and switching that up.
Okay. So let's talk travel real quick before we wrap up.
Yes.
You've been like basically all over the world at this point. You trekked in Nepal, you were like in the riots in Turkey when they had, when was that? That was when I was in Thailand.
2013.
Yeah. What's been like your most, oh my God, experience in all of your travels?
Huh.
And it can be more than one, it's fine.
I would say, I think one of the most amazing, like when I look back and I'm like, oh man, that was so awesome. Doing the Everest base camp trek was really amazing. You know, we didn't like climbing Everest and doing the trek are two totally different things. But the trek is anywhere. It took us, we did 3 weeks, we did the long way, and we didn't take a guide or a porter. So it was me and a girl who I went to high school with who just happened to be doing a grad program in Nepal. And we just had like a guidebook and like.
Two of you that did the trek by yourself?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I don't know if I would have approved of that.
Awesome. It was awesome. Yeah. It was really, really cool. Huh?
Then you got stuck, didn't you? And you had to walk out of.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah, I got fogged in. It was like stopping. So at the end of this trek, it was such a long trek. And like you don't shower, you don't wash your hair really. It's like cold. I mean, you're above. And once you get above the tree line, like the only way to get, there's not much food, like whatever. It's an awesome experience. But then we ended up getting sucked in, where basically fog had rolled in and didn't leave the Everest region. I think it was our fifth day that I was there. Like, the ATM had run out of money. Like, the guest house we were at started running out of food. And I was like, okay, finally, I'm going to like walk out like with someone, because you don't know, like, is the fog going to go away? And then flights will start again, because the flights go by sight. So it's really dangerous. And so they don't do it when there's fog. So you're like, okay, are we just going to walk out of this? And so we walked. And so it was an additional, I believe, like four and a half day. It was like, you know, an additional 3 day walk, and then like an 18 hour Jeep ride on like the side of a mountain. It was crazy.
How did you get the Jeep ride? Did you just flag it down?
Yeah. It's like you end up like it brings you to the bottom, where there's like this area that there's just, it's like a small little mountain town, and there's the Jeep. And then the Jeep broke down. Oh my God, I forgot about that. The Jeep broke down forever. And then we had to get another Jeep. It was crazy. So, and that was by myself for that, because my friend who I had trekked with, actually, smartly for her, that she didn't know this was going to happen, but we had like finished the trek, and then she took a helicopter out, and because she had never taken a helicopter before, and she's like, oh, like, I'll pay the $200 to take a helicopter out. And I was just like, I didn't go this far to like take a helicopter out. Like, I'm going to come out the same way that I came in. And then we got socked in, and I was like, oh dear God. And so I was by myself at that point.
You walked by yourself for 3.5 days? Yeah,
that, no. So I had to meet, I ended up, there was this guy who was like in the British Navy who had like a guide. And so I shared his guide. And so we were with a guide, but then he was carrying the guys in the Navy's pack, and I was carrying my own pack, and they both were going so fast because like the guide was like used to it, and the other guy didn't have like, and so I was like in the back just like trying to keep. Oh my God, it was so, but it was amazing. It was like the best.
I just looking at your pictures of that and being like, what did you do, Lindsay? Because you're like the most adventurous person I've ever met in the history of my life. Like if it's adventure, like it's you. And then there's this whole other like super business savvy side of you that it's just, I mean,
it's just a new adventure. I feel like it's just a totally different use of your adrenal glands.
It's a specifically safe adventure, but that's about as like safe as it gets.
Yeah.
Okay. One last question. What's the best vegan meal you've ever had and where?
Oh my gosh.
Bring it back to vegan. You know that.
I know. I love this. I need to think. Dude, I've had so many though.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. What's yours?
No, you can't flip it. Mine would be like one of the two James Beard dinners. Both of those James Beard dinners I had.
Oh, crap. Well, of course it would be that. Of course it would be that.
You too?
Yeah, for sure. It would be that.
So that was November, and it was,
was like an event though. I didn't even register in my thing. Yeah, okay. That,
like, you can't go to like a restaurant now and have that dinner. So like if you couldn't go, okay, pretend James Beard dinners didn't exist.
I mean, the James Beard thing was like, is like a class in its own world.
Yeah, it's magnificent. Okay, mine, I have a couple. The Sparrow and Wolf, which you didn't meet that chef. He did the first James Beard dinner in New York, and that's Brian Howard. EDO, and that's Chef Oscar Amador. And next time you come to Vegas, I'll take you there. And then I had this dinner at a restaurant in Paris called Breathe. And so for the food tours I'm going to start in Paris, that is like, it is exquisite. Like that food was beautiful and gorgeous. And they had like eclairs and macarons, and you know, vegan macarons are hard. Actually, yeah. Vegan in general, I think, tend to be a little bit more of a struggle, which is why we always get surveyed.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, those are mine. So,
So I'm not as much of a foodie as you, but I will say, okay. So like my go-to, there is a vegan restaurant here in LA called LA Vegan that I'm obsessed with. They have the best chicken wings in the entire world.
Okay.
And then, so I would say like, that's like my go-to, but then, I would say that it's like, there's nothing sophisticated. It's like a hole in the wall restaurant, but it's just so good. So good.
So when you were in New York, did you eat at any vegan restaurants there?
Oh yeah. If you're in New York, there's a restaurant called, is it Ha Ha Ha?
Ha Ha. In the East Village.
So good. Mm-hmm. So good. We could not get a reservation there. I mean, just because we kept on forgetting until last minute. But then finally, we just went and sat at the bar and ate there. Like, you got to go. I mean, you've went, but it's like, I would
actually, every time I go, because look, when I go to New York, I literally, you know, when you're vegan and you're a foodie and there's like 5 million places to go, you don't know where to go first. And you literally, like, every time I go somewhere, I plan my whole day around eating. So it's like breakfast, I'm going here. And then I walk to burn it off and go get like second breakfast and then walk and then lunch. Lunch and snack. So I no, the last time I was in New York, I know, and I was right near it too. I checked out a
restaurant. You gotta go back. Fly back, worth it. And that's like, what is it? I'm also obsessed with is like ramen, vegan ramen. Man, good vegan
ramen.
So good. Yeah,
that ramen was good.
Yeah. Here that we went to the Grand Central Market. Yes. That was really good.
That was good. Okay. How can everybody find you? How can people order toothpaste from you? How do we do all this?
So we are Bite Toothpaste Bits or BiteToothpaste.com. Either one, we're there. And on Instagram, we're Bite Toothpaste Bits. On Twitter, we're Bite Toothpaste. So basically, Bite Toothpaste, Bite Toothpaste Bits, you'll find us. And then my handle is Hey Lindsay Mick on Instagram.
Okay. And then
we're also on TikTok too. And let's be real, I've been spending so much time on TikTok.
I can't do it. I'm not ready.
It's hilarious.
It is. I see the post, but I'm just like, first, I'm not that funny. Second, I literally, like, my phone is, there's just so much social media I have that it's just, I don't want to add another.
And it's fair. But it's so funny. It makes me laugh so hard.
I'll look at it.
Yeah. I'll show you some good accounts.
So this is the Good Fork podcast. It will be going live shortly. And for more information about Lindsay, you can go to her website or you can head over to Vegans Baby, where we will have the show notes, vegansbaby.com. And I am Vegans Baby across all the different platforms. And thank you guys so much for being a part of this. Lindsay, I love you. Thank you. I am so excited for you and what the future holds. Even if we're stuck in quarantine right now, at least we're all being productive. Fido loves you.
Oh, I love you too, Fido.
Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dee.
Bye.
Thanks, Vegans Baby.
Are you looking to save a little cash right now? I know I am. So I have some great deals for you. Daily Harvest right now is offering $25 off your first order when you use code VEGANSBABY at checkout. They are an all-organic, all-natural meal prep service. So you get cups of beautiful smoothies and bowls and savory and sweet. And I absolutely love them. There's also some deals right now over at Vegan Cuts, and they do subscription boxes like snack boxes and beauty boxes, and even right now a quarantine box. So head over to vegancuts.com and use code VEGANSBABY to save a little money there. And if you're in the mood to shop, I actually have a whole shop on Amazon with some of my favorite products. It's amazon.com/shop/vegansbaby. Head on over, check it out, and enjoy some shopping.